This interview is with Mr. Burnell Turner, the owner and founder of Turner's Rib House, 405 North Matthews, Urbana. Mr. Turner opened the Rib House on July 11, 1978, and he came to Champaign in 1946. This interview is being conducted on June 27, 1983, at the Rib House on Matthews. The interviewer is Melinda Roundtree, representing the Urbana Free Library Archives Department.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Turner. How you doing
today? Fine.
All right. First of all, if you could, I would like to know a little history about Turner's Rib House, when it started.
Okay, cool. I just mentioned that I won't make any mistakes. Okay, I think we started February the 2nd, 1972. But we didn't get open until July 11, 1978. So it was delaying the zoning system and various other things concerning the city. Eventually we got the clarification and we got started.
Okay. How did you get started into this business?
Well, it really was something that I always wanted to do. I've been in the restaurant business practically all my life, and I felt that it was time for me to open my own business. So I set out to do that. And the reason for this, there's so many times I worked in restaurants and people was always pushed for time, and the hostess, the head waiter, walk the table because they had other people standing. I wanted a place where a person could come and sit down and relax and feel at home, where you don't have a bunch of people gazing down your back wanting you to get up. And I think it puts an awful lot of pressure on a person to be sitting and other people waiting to be seated, especially when they don't have anything to do except for instance they're going to be out for the day and they like spending a little time talking. Then when you have this type of situation, it just puts them under pressure.
Okay, has the service that you've had during the years, have it changed, or has it been pretty much the same with the people, the customers that you have?
Well, one of the things is this, I always try to stay with the same type of service. Good service and relaxation and the finest quality of meat that is possible, because I do the cooking myself and I check it all out before I prepare it.
And have you been at this location since it started?
Yes, somewhere be 10 years.
Okay, do you employ a lot of people here?
Well, at one time we employed about 4 people. At the present time, you know, with the economy as it is, we've been kind of operating as a family. But as my kids get older, quite naturally they get weaned away from the main screen. So I do have a girl now helping me part-time and hope that she would look forward to keeping the job if her qualification come up to what I feel is necessary for the dining room, because we are still trying to have the image where people don't feel that they're being rushed through a meal. We want them to be able to relax and enjoy.
Now, I would like to know a little bit about yourself, your life before coming to Champaign.
Well, I think I came here in 1946. And all of my life, I've been kind of been with the food business. And I worked at various places here. I worked at the Urbana Country Club. Champaign Country Club, the Inman Hotel, and also Wheat Steakhouse. That's about 25 years there. Then we went over to open up this Century 21, when we just got opened up. Century 21 back then.
Where were you born in?
I was born in New Orleans.
New Orleans. Okay, could you tell me a little bit about your education?
Well, I finished high school, and I had, I said, 35 or 40 years in the food service. Then I met some of the highest people it is in the United States. And quite natural over a period of years, if you have any exorbitant at all, quite natural some of this will rub off on you. Also, I'm a photographer. I went to Parkland and I finished the course there. Two semesters. Then I did a 6-week photographing nature for the Nature Center there in Havana. And we explored the Busey Woods and plant life. And also I do weddings and various other things along with my restaurant. I hope to retire and go into photography full time.
Can you tell me a little bit about your family?
Well, my father died about 95. My grandmother died about 110. My mother's still living. And my mother have her own business. She is a spiritual lady located in Louisiana. And my father and mother have always owned their own home. And we kids at one time only worked for them.
So
until I come of age and thought I was ready to leave home.
So, you've been influenced by your parents? I mean, did they give you the idea of, you know, getting into your own business?
Well, I think most fellows from the South, you know, they always hear the word of the North being the land of promise. And quite naturally, the average young fellow that have any ambitions at all want to explore the North and see if it really is the way people see it are. Then I find that it's not exactly what they say. It's a nice, I guess a nice country, you might would call it. But I do feel that we have got on the bandwagon here, as well as the peoples in the South. And when I'm speaking of that, you have most black business like your undertakers and your restaurants and some of your banking business and your country clubs and various other things. And I find here we are a little behind in a lot of ways. And I think our social activity with each other is very poor. And I don't feel that we had strong enough leadership in the community where we could bind each person as a whole, and instead of fighting against each other, was try to work together. And I do feel since I opened the restaurant here, it hadn't been exactly what I expected. Because I expect a lot more of my people to visit them at the restaurant. And they show no interest whatsoever. And I do feel maybe the problem is our churches and our leaders that's in the community don't inspire the youngsters in order to make them want to do it other than what they are doing. Really. It's terrible. In fact, about a week of standing, a lot improvement. That even include the adults along with the kids. I say, if you're up on a mountain hollering for some help, someone could hear you, but they may not find you. If you're up on a mountain hollering for help with a light, they could easily walk up there and find you. And I think what's happening here, the light is out. And we do need more lights shining. So we can improve our people, because I feel that if we ask them for equal opportunity, we shouldn't ask for things that we are unable to anticipate yet. Because the first thing we got to do is learn how to get along with ourselves. Once we learn how to get along with ourselves, I think it'd be much easier to get along with other people. Because I don't feel that we have absolutely been fair to ourselves as a whole. Our ladies, for instance, we don't give them attention, we don't make them feel proud of themselves. And our young men, we don't inspire them to get the proper haircut or how to conduct themselves with other people. And I do feel that the education point that we have had is automatically being slightly abolished because we are like a leadership. And it's absolutely terrible. And I don't know where you would ask the federal government to step in. I think the thing is that we need to have some inspiring of our peoples. And I think one of the things is this, we come to get a little money, we move out in the neighborhood, and we move so far away, so we have nothing left for our kids to want to do nothing. And maybe this person only comes back to this inner town, maybe every now and then, and the kids don't get to know them. And they have no goal, because the reason they don't have no goal, because they have no pattern. You know, if you're doing a photograph, you have to have a subject in order to focus on. And I think this is one of the things that's really been bad. Our focus is very bad. And I do feel the urban renewal have been a lot, but I do feel that they really sent us back instead of really helping us. Because any time that you destroy a group of people, I think it's bad for the city, it's bad for the community. Because eventually these people will learn how to cooperate with each other and work together, but the people split up, it'll never happen. Really.
Have you served in any military service? I didn't understand. Any military? No, no military service whatsoever.
I had a lot of in the merchant marine years ago. But I'm kind of glad I wasn't in the military because I felt that I would have taken an awful lot out of my life and I might not have been able to get this started because I was young enough and ambitious enough to try to go about better my surrounding and trying to show my people that these things can be done. And it's not an easy job. Well, one other thing I like to say, I do feel that some of our tiny, very southern things are considered underprivileged peoples. I would use that word not only speaking of blacks, but people that's unable to work. If the state continued to help them, which I appreciate them having, but I do feel that it should be a place set aside for people that's having food stamps and various other things. Because I feel a person have no reason to want to up their grade if they can have the same identical privilege that people that's working have. What I mean by this, you have a grocery store set aside just for people that's using food stamps and stuff like this. And I feel these people would get shame of going to this store because they don't want their neighbors to know that they ain't on equal basis. But if you give a person the same identical treatment that you do on a person that's working 365 days in a year, and he can sit down and enjoy the same thing that you enjoy, it's no reason for them to want to improve themselves. For what? Because now I know it's they call it discrimination. Maybe there comes a time when we do need discrimination. Because we need something to make people want to do and still are dragging their feet. Because I think they should be exposed where it wouldn't be a type of thing where you have them shoved off in the corner. But it would have an image to point towards they don't want to do nothing. Now this is where you would have to spend the food stamp. Because this has been set aside for you to go there. And you'll have the same thing in this store that you would have in the other store. But this store is special for food stamp, clothing, whatever you want to do. And I feel that would kind of paint a picture where people want to up their grade and don't want to be there. And I do feel that like some of our little misdemeanors, problems that we have with the police department and our federal, if they had some place to put these people where they could be seen by the general public, they would think twice before, because they don't want to be drugged down. Because if you talk to them, say, well, what do you call yourself doing? Lowering me or making me feel little? Okay, if they don't want to upgrade themselves, what else for them to feel? Do you agree?
So, do you feel that the community has changed for the better, or do you think it's still...
Well, I think the community really has taken a step backwards. Because we don't have enough jobs with the state helping people that could help themselves. Of course, I know the state don't have anything to do with this. And I feel as long as people's on the gravy train, they don't care to improve themselves. Really. Really don't. And I do feel that our courts is a little strong language in how they handle various peoples, because I feel this. Most of the people from the South come north, and they had the great white father do their thinking for them. When you put them on equal basis, they are not ready for equal basis in our court system. Because American white man in this part of the country, you can't believe a thing he tell you. But in the South, the white man told you something, he did what he said. But here, you can't believe it. And they come out and connive and fool you, and you turn state's evidence, the first thing you know, you're going to prison. And it's not a basic background training. And I do feel the court should give some leeway in this way, because there's a lot of us come from the South. And the American white man told you something, we believe it. And it'll take 100 years before we can raise ourselves up to not to trust everything people's told us. Because the Southern Negro was taught, and Mr. Lulu says something, that's the way it is. And it was the law and rules and regulations. But here we have the rules and regulations of the law, but it don't amount to nothing. It is a defense against us. And I think it's terrible. And I think it should start right over there in the court and finding these weaknesses that we have had for years for it to happen as it is. It's terrible.
Do you have any pictures of this restaurant that you could let me have?
Great. Go ahead and put that on the truck.
Well, I thank you for the interview.
Yeah. Hello, cook. I'll get your picture.
Okay, come on.